Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. I'm down at the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. We will start our first day on this preparation this Friday, August the 4th, 2023, on Abe 18 at 2027. We will start it with a song, and then we'll have our prayer, and then we'll have our sermon of two timely greetings, number entitled A Feast That Rolls Away the Veil, Opens the Gates, and Causes Death to Flee Away. That sounds like a good title. That's September 6, 1947. Okay, it says it by the V.T. Hutter. For the text of our study this afternoon is Isaiah 25 and 26. In order properly to orientate ourselves for the subject matter, we shall begin with the sixth verse of the chapter 25. Afterwards, we shall study the first five verses. Isaiah 25:6. And in this mountain shall the Yahshua of the host, this is the Son, he has come back in the 12th hour, the last parabolic hour of Earth's history, make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of the wines on the lees, of the fat things full of the marrow, of the wines on the lees well refined. First of all, we should find the truth of this figurative mountain. For this information, we must go to the last verse of the 24th chapter of the Isaiah, because the story of the 25th chapter begins with the previous chapter. We shall read these verses connectively. Isaiah 24:23 will connect it to Isaiah 25:6. Then the man shall be confounded, and his son ashamed, when the Yahshua of the host, that's the Son of Yahweh, shall reign in Mount Zion. For he's coming down to set up his kingdom upon the throne of David. And he's going to reign in the Mount Zion, wherever the Mount Zion is at. And all we know at this time is in the land of Israel. And in Jerusalem. And before the ancients, gloriously. And in this mountain, that is Mount Zion, in the 12th hour, and that's the hour we're in right now, shall the Yahshua of the host make unto all people a feast of the fat things, a feast of the wines on the lees, of the fat things full of the marrow, of the wines on the lees well refined. Here you see that Mount Zion is a mountain on which Yahshua will prepare a feast for all the people, a feast of the tempting things. There will the people gather together, Isaiah 25:7, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cherub, or the covering cast over all the people, and the veil that is spread over all the nations. When the covering with which the nations now stand roll away, then shall they find themselves in the open, vulnerable to the wind and storm? Yes, when the veil which now hangs over all peoples of the earth is pulled down, then shall they see that which they cannot now see. And what then? Isaiah 25:8-10. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Yahshua will wipe away tears from all of their faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth, for Yahshua hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our King, Yahshua. We have waited for him, and he will save us. And how does he save us? By his blood, by the blood of the everlasting covenant. This is the Yahshua. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Yahshua rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. For the making of these great events possible, not only the ones who at that time ruled the land, but Moab, who we see shall be trodden down. And who could Moab be if not the Arabs, who now lay heavy claim to the land of the Palestine? Soon the world will find that Yahweh has not forsaken the earth, and that Yahweh is the master of the situation. Let's do that again. Soon the world will find that the Yahshua, the Son, has not forsaken the earth. For he's come and taken his position upon the Mount Zion, upon the King of Palestine, upon the throne of David. That's Luke 1:32-33. And fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 9:68. And that Yahshua is the master of the situation. That's the Son. Isaiah 25:11-12. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even unto the dust. For these verses hold the fact before us that it matters not what kind of fortification men may devise, such shall nevertheless be brought down as a straw when the Yahshua manifests his power. Having now clearly seen this wonderful Bible truth, let it be you to say, Isaiah 25:1, O Yahshua, thou art my King. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, Yahshua, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Here we are shown that as a result of this revealed truth, some will truly accept Yahshua of the Bible as their King, and will praise to exalt him, and ever to praise his wonderful name, Yahshua, because they see that he has done wonderful things. His counsels of old will they not turn down, because they will know from the experience that his counsels are faithfulness and truth. They will from the personal experience know Yahweh's power and said, Isaiah 25:2-3, for thou hast made of a city an heap. of a dense city, a ruin, a palace of the strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. The city of this verse must be the one first mentioned in Isaiah 24. It's a city of confusion. It's broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. And the city is left desolation. And the gate is smitten with the destruction. And thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people. It shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the greening grapes when the vintage is done. They, those who are not shaken down, shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Yahshua. They shall cry aloud from the sea, and wherefore glorify ye the Yahshua and the powers, even the name of the Yahshua, of the Israel, and the isles of the sea, from the uttermost part of the earth, have we heard songs, even glory unto the righteous. As a result, there shall be hundreds from the four corners of the earth. But I said, my lineage, woe unto me, for the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yes, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Here and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. Isaiah 24:10-17. For the following quotation from the spirit of the prophecy has light unto these first. I saw just as the light shining from the cities and villages, and from the high places and the low places of the earth. For Yahweh's word was obeyed, and as a result there were memorials for him in every city and village. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 28 and 29, Ellen G. White, our quotation. In the land of Judah, we have a strong city. For the salvation of the Yahweh appoint for the walls and bulwarks. For the song for the majesty of the Yahshua is therefore to be sung in the promised land. And there will the saints have a city that cannot be shaken down, for it is to have salvation for the walls. Then it shall be said, Isaiah 26:2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Here is thought that all this takes place in a day of salvation, and a day that the gates can be opened for a righteous nation to enter in, yes, a whole nation of the such that should be saved. Not a sinner among them shall then respond to the call, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Isaiah 26:4. Thou shalt keep him in the perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust you in the Yahshua forever, for in the Yahshua is the everlasting strength. Although throughout the years of the history nations have developed great power, yet not one has retained that power forever. But we are here reassured that those who trust in the Yahshua shall have the eternal peace and everlasting strength. Isaiah 26:5-10. For he bringeth down them that dwell on the high. Now for the lofty city, for he layeth it low, for he layeth it low even unto the ground, for he bringeth it even unto the dust, for the foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy, for the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright, best way the path of the just, yea, and the way of thy judgments, O Yahshua, have we waited for thee. For the desire of our soul is unto thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, and with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed unto the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of the uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Yahshua. Verses plainly tell us that when the judgments of the Yahshua fall upon the earth, the righteous-minded will learn righteousness, but the unrepentant sinners will not learn righteousness, regardless what is done for them. And this is why they are to be barred from the congregation of the righteous. For the righteous, however, even now feel the Yahshua's mighty hand, and painfully they declare. Isaiah 26:11. Yahshua, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed, for their envy at the people. Yes, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Okay, indeed, when the Yahweh's hand is lifted up to deliver his people. Now, let's say it again. Indeed, when the Yahshua, the Son's hand, is lifted up to deliver his people, that he has bought with his blood, the wicked will not see it. But after the righteous are delivered, the wicked will clearly see and envy, but it shall be to their shame and too late to do them any good. Even now, while the latter rain is falling, the self-righteous, who imagine that they have need of nothing, are either running away from it or pulling their raincoats over their heads. For the secret of the righteousness shall come out in the open. Thus they learn to say, Isaiah 26:12. Thy Yahweh, Yahshua, thou wilt ordain peace for us, but thou also hast wrought all our works in us. This can be said only by those who allow the Yahshua to perform his work in their hearts, so that they may praise him. Isaiah 26:13-16. O Yahshua, our King, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not arise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Yahshua. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth, for Yahshua and of trouble have they visited thee, for they poured out a prayer when they when thy chastening was upon them. These verses declare that Israel, of the promises, not the unbelieving Jews, have increased in the number since having been removed from their land, since having been scattered unto the ends of the earth, while this chastening, being driven away from their land, is still upon them, they pour out the prayer and say, Isaiah 26:17-18, like as a woman with a child that draweth near unto the time of her delivery, is in the pain, and crieth out in her pangs. So have we been in thy sight, O Yahshua. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Now they have in the heavens of the world fallen. Here is shown that the eyes of the penitent are to be opened. They are to see themselves as Yahweh sees them, and confess that they have hitherto failed in their efforts, that they have travailed, have been in pain, but have brought forth only wind, as it were, while the impenitent thinks that they themselves are rich and increased with the goods, are doing a great deed, and are in the need of nothing. This, the church, and now both of her achievements, are her so-called large membership, but not long hence will she too discover that she has failed to finish her work, that the world is still destroying the earth, that her people are unsaved, and that rather than having brought forth salvation, she has brought forth nothing but wind. And the mighty sifting soon to take place, we shall be able for the measure of the strength of Israel, for the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest that his plan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80, L.N.G. White, Isaiah 26:19. Thy dead men shall live together with thy dead body, shall they arise, awake, and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for that dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Not only the living, but the dead also shall be gathered into the strong city. We also hear the Yahshua pleading with us all, saying, Isaiah 26:20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. This piece shows that we are approaching the time of the trouble, and that the Yahweh is anxious to have us under his cover. For the wise will hear him and will accept the chambers, the protection he provides for them. Isaiah 26:21. For behold, the Yahshua cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, for the earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her shame. All these two, which the Yahweh is now bringing unto our attention, point unto the one thing, that the great and terrible day of Yahshua is at hand, that he is soon to manifest his power and shake the earth so that everything that cannot be shaken may stand, not glad, brother, sister, that the Yahshua is giving you first opportunity to get ready for the day of the Yahweh? He holds fast unto his ever-increasing truth. This brings into our study of Two Tongue Greetings number 5. Two Tongue Greetings number 6. Lewdness flees away at children's protest. Revival and Reformation win. September 13, 1947 by Bitsy Hutter. Okay, it says that our subject is found in the first and second chapters of Hosea. We shall begin with Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. For the beginning of the word of the Yahweh, Father Hosea, and the Yahweh said unto the Moses, go, take unto thee a wife of the whoredom, and children of the whoredom. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Yahweh. For we immediately see that this wife and these children symbolize Yahweh's people departing from him, and that such a wicked act he calls whoredom. Hosea 1, 3, and 4. So he went and he took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Yahweh said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of the Jezreel upon the house of the Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of the Israel. For Yahweh's reason for thus naming Hosea's first visionary son was to signify that in a little while he was to avenge the blood of the Jezreel upon the house of the Jehu, who was then the king of Israel. Then declared the Yahweh, Hosea 1:5, and it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel and the valley of Jezreel. For the breaking of the bow would mean for the breaking of the nation's military strength. For the history of this is recorded in the second chapter of Kings, chapter 10 and 11. I'll read that again. In the second Kings, chapters 10 and 11. Hosea 1, 6. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and Yahweh said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will be not there, no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, and I will utterly take them away. For this child's name was to denote the complete destruction of the house of Israel, the 10-tribe kingdom. This destruction, we know, was accomplished by the king of Assyria, who scattered the people throughout the cities of the Medes. For the history of this is found in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 11. And the king of the Assyria did carry away Israel unto the Assyria and put them in the Hela, and in the harbor by the river of the Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. Hosea 1:7. But I will have mercy upon the house of the Judah. That's the tribe that David is from and Yahshua is from. The lawgiver, the tribe of the lawgiver. And will save them by the Yahweh, their Yahweh, and will not save them by the bow, nor by the sword, nor by the battle, nor by the horses, nor by the horsemen. For the Yahweh promised to spare the house of the Judah from the invasion of the king of Assyria. where the history of this incident is recorded. And 2 Kings, chapter 19, verse 35, and it came to pass at night that the angel of the Yahweh went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians and 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Hosea 1:8-9. Now when she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son, and said Yahweh, call his name Lo Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your Yahweh. Okay, it says, for the name of the third child was to signify that though Israel and Judah were Yahweh's chosen people, the day was fast approaching on which they would no longer be called his people. For the fulfillment of this phase of the prophecy brings us unto the apostolic era of the apostles in the first century, Hosea 1:10, that the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living Yahweh. In spite of the calamities that were to overtake the children of the Israel, they were to become very numerous, and when they are thus greatly multiplied, they are again to be called the sons of Yahweh. And so here we see a prophecy of the rebellion of the Yahweh's people and Yahweh's rejection of them, as well as a repentance and reacceptance by him. Let us here for a moment discuss the titles Judah and Israel. When superficially read, these titles are as a rule misconstrued and made to mean the identified Jews. But we must not be superficial readers and thinkers. Let us be deep Bible students. Now everyone knows that the identified Jews of the day are but a handful, certainly not as the sands of the sea. For the innumerable children of the Israel, therefore, cannot be the unbelieving Jews of today. Besides, the identified Jews of the day are not the descendants of the 10-tribe kingdom, but of the 2-tribe kingdom. Who then is this multitude of the people referred to in the Hosea's prophecy? We must not overlook the fact that the gospel of Yahshua divided the house of the Judah into 2 sects, Jewish and apostolic Nazarenes. That the apostolic Nazarene church of the 12 apostles for about 4 years after the resurrection of Yahshua consisted practically only of the tribe of Judah, the Judean. Plainly then, the original apostolic Jews, they call them, tribe of Judah, were full-blooded Jews. Apostolic church is only a branch of the Jewish church. I mean of the tribe of Judah. That they and their descendants have through the years lost their racial identity. Then too, the descendants of both Israel and Judah, who through the years of the captivity lost their identity, as did the Jews who embraced the apostolic movement, according unto the prophecy, must also have greatly multiplied. Plenty of them, many who are taken as Gentiles, Identified descendants of the ancient Judah is Israel and the Jewish apostolic. For the apostolic church herself is, as we have seen, a Jewish apostolic church. Are these descendants of the Jacob who were assimilated by the Gentile nations, therefore, were to multiply as the sand of the sea. They are the ones who, after becoming Christians, are again called the sons of the living Yahweh. Of those who first embraced the apostolic faith and the blood of Yahshua, the apostle Peter speaks thus, which in the time past were not a people, but are now the people of the Yahweh, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy to Yahweh's son Yahshua through his blood. 1 Peter 2:10. And the apostle John said, that as many as received him unto them, gave he power to become the son of the Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name, John 1:12. Now we see that the prophecy of the Hosea 1 begins with the house of Israel, the 10 tribes, and Judah, the 2 tribes, and brings this down through the stream of the time unto the apostolic era, for the light on the church and the apostolic period returns to the Hosea 1:11. Then shall the children of the Judah and the children of the Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall conquer the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. For the word of the Yahweh is therefore definitely declared that the subjects of the torn down kingdoms, Judah and Israel, as the apostolic, along with the Gentiles that have joined them, will gather together and appoint themselves a king. And a similar symbolism, the prophet was told that after many days of the obscurity and wandering, shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahweh, their Yahweh, and Yahshua, their king, and David, their king. Evidently, David is the one head whom they appoint, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. That's the son, Hosea 3:5. Continuing with the same family illustration and pointing unto the apostolic era, the Yahshua commands, Hosea 2:1, save ye unto your brethren, Ammon, and unto your sisters, Ruhamah. Here we see that the names of the 2 children of the chapters 1 are again mentioned, but the first 2 letters of each name have been dropped. Lo Ruhamah has become Ruhamah, and Lo Ammi has become Ammi. Now, the fact that these are the brother and sister of the Jezreel bears but out the truth that the one whom the Yahshua commands to speak to them is Jezreel, the firstborn of the 3. Here is to deliver the message. He is to deliver the message unto his brethren, Ammon and Ruhamah. Now, what is all this about? It is not too difficult to see, for the one to whom Yahweh speaks, Jezreel, represents a prophet. His brother and sister, Ammon and Ruhamah, can only represent the church's membership, both male and female. And archaeology Jezreel must deliver Yahweh's message unto them. And here is the message. Hosea 2:2. Plead with your mother, please. For this is not my wife. Neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. For the fact that Yahweh himself caused the prophet Hosea's visionary wife, his own wife, reveals that she represents the church that Hosea represents, for Yahweh, and that the while Jezreel represents the mouthpiece of Yahweh, the prophet, Ammi and Ruami represent the church membership. And the child heard Hosea 1, they represent the Old Testament church, the Hebrews, but in their youth having their names altered. Hosea chapter 2, they represent the New Testament church, the apostolics. Now that the liturgy at the command of Yahweh was through a prophet to plead with the church, therefore the Reformation here called forth in the sponsored by the inspiration and send out and tear it out in the daily. It is the long expected revival and reformation. And the daily, I mean, the liturgy carries out this revival and reformation. It is the long expected revival and reformation to the laity of sin, and hence a layman's movement called forth by the revived spirit of the prophecy. And this prophecy, you see, the denomination is by the Yahweh himself charged with the whoredom, with having illicit connections with the world. This lewdness she must give up if she is to obtain favor with the Yahweh. These are not man's words, you understand. But the Yahweh. And should we not be grateful that he is doing everything he can to save us? Or the church must repent, says Yahweh. For they repent, embracing the false Catholic Trinity doctrine of the three in one person of the Godhead, in which the Holy Spirit is not even a person and don't have a name. But they made it a person. Hosea 2:3. Lest I strip her naked and sit her as in a day as she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and sit her like a dry land, and they slay her with the thirst. For the denomination often boasts of the game and the membership. Children, trust. Yahweh charges that those whom she brings in are illegitimate children. And that how could it be otherwise if the church herself is corrupted with the world? What else could her converts be? What would free them from the worldly influences? Is she the ministry? Is mercifully trained and with the practices of the world, and indeed her converts cannot be the lawful children, Hosea 2:5, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lover, that I give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flesh, mine oil and my drink. For the church is going after the world because she mistakenly thinks that her support comes from the worldlings, from her lovers. Hosea 2:6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with the thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. Here we see that the Seventh-day Adventist Church's proposes, but that Yahweh disposes her plan. Do not work out as expected, for she leaves her way as though the ship without chart or compass drifting at sea. Hosea 2:7. And she shall follow after her lover, that she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return unto my first husband, for them was it better with me than now. Again, we see that the trials and adverse circumstances are for our good, for this is the church, thus is the church brought unto her right senses. Hosea 2:6-12. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine, and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which she prepared for Baal. Therefore I will return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flesh, given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her nudity in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. And I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbath, and all her solemn feasts, and I will destroy her vine and her fig trees, wherever she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. From these verses we see that it was just such a departure from the Yahweh that caused the church in her early apostolic era to lose her path and all her possession, including her feast days and her new moon, her Sabbath, and all of her solemn feasts. This is exactly what happened when the dark ages of the religion began in 538 A.D. The pagans, and whom the clutches of the church fell, were no more to blame for the church is going into the darkness than were the apostolic believers of the destroying the Judah and her temple. For the real blame game on the church herself, and this should be a meeting or a lasting lesson for each of us, that we should never again have still elicits connection with the world will never depart from the Yahweh. Now let us read what other experiences the church are to go through. Hosea chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And I will visit upon her the days of the Balaam, wherein she burned incense unto them, and before she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went up to her lover and forgot me. I said, yes, sir, therefore will I lure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Well, I'm going to have to. Now notice that the yes, sir visits the church, Seventh-day Adventist church, not when she is in a good spiritual condition, standing with him, but when she is in the greatest idolatry. Okay. Indeed, we could not visit her at a more opportune time, because only when she is in the greatest darkness can she possibly discern the light. And her conditions, you know, can never improve unless she should call on her. Thus it was in John the Baptist day, also when the Protestant Reformation came, and thus it is today. Yahweh knows how to say saving is his chief concern, but Yahweh requires certain things of the sin of his people. If they say, I will only give up my heart to do this thing, Yahshua bless them. If they say, I will not give up my heart to do this thing, Yahshua lets them go on in this supposed wise judgment without the heavenly wisdom until this scripture, Isaiah 28:13, is fulfilled. You are not to simply, or you're not to say, I will follow the Yahshua guidance up until a certain point that is in the harmony with my judgment, and then hold fast into your own idea, refusing to be molded after the Yahshua's, similitude. That's the question to ask. Is this the will of the Yahweh? If not, is this the opinion of the judgment of the living people? Testimonies and Message, page 419. And what is Yahweh's promise now to his church? Isaiah 2:15. And I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of the hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. As a result of her vineyards being restored, and also of her being given the valley of Achor for a door of hope, the Adventist church, purified by the house of David with the 144,000 prophets, priests, and kings as the first fruits harvest out of the Adventist church, is to sing as in the days of her youth. That's when she came up out of Egypt and lodged in the promised land. What could her vineyard be but her own land? And if the valley of the acre is for a door of the hope unto her, what can it be but what it was in the Joshua's time? Removal of the acres of today from her midst, that's your terrors, that's your idol worshipers. Hosea 2:15. Indeed, this is her only hope, in fact even more so than it was in the day of the Israel defeat at Ai, for the gate to the promised land, the class who do not feel grief over their own spiritual dissension, nor mourn over the sins of the others, will be left without the seal of Yahweh, for thus Yahweh commissions his messengers, men, with the slaughtering weapons in their hands, Ezekiel 9, go ye after him through the city, and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but be come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and again at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which came before the throne house. Here we see that the church, the Yahshua sanctuary, was the first to hear the stroke of the wrath of Yahweh. For the ancient men, those unto whom Yahweh had given great light, and who has stood as the guardians of the spiritual interest of the people, had betrayed their trust, they had taken the position that we need not look for the miracles and the marked manifestations of the Yahweh's power as in the former days. Times have changed. For these words strengthen their unbelief, and they say, Yahshua will not be good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful to visit his people in the judgment. Thus, peace and safety is the cry that from men who will never again lift up their voice like his trumpet, for the showing of Yahweh's people their transgressions in the house of Jacob, their sins, for these dumb dogs that would not bark, are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together, Testimony 5:11. Hosea 2:16, and it shall come to pass that day, saith Yahweh, that this shall be, they shall call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Balak. So it is that after the hypocrites and the sinners are taken out of the seventh day of the church, shall no longer call the Savior Balak, that is, parentheses, Lord, but she shall call him Ishi, husband. The significance is that then he will truly be her husband, whereas now he is to her, as it were, only some great personality. Hosea 2:18, and in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword, and the battle out of the earth will make them to lie down safely. Here is peace. That's the only peace that one can have today. If he so desires, this is peace overflowing with the safety. For the saints, after the sinners have been removed from among them, need not fear the beast, fowls of the creeping things of the ground, neither the gun nor sword, for they shall be down, lie down in confidence and assurance that nothing shall hurt them, for he whose fan is in his hand will surely purge his floor and get his sweet into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire, Matthew 3:12. Hosea 2:19-21, and I will betroth thee unto me forever, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in the judgment, and in the loving kindness, and in the mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in the faithfulness, and thee shall know the Yeshua, Yahweh, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will hear, says Yahweh, I will hear the earth, I'll hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, earth and prophecy, in one place of the United States, wilderness of the people. And they're saying that the Yeshua will hear the heavens, and the heavens, the earth. Inspiration actually says that when these things take place on the earth, the Yeshua is to be in the midst of his people, that he is to speak from the earth, and his subjects in heaven shall hear him, Hosea 2:2-2. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel, the master prophet of Hosea, which represents the prophet in the Adventist church and the 12th prophetic hour, which is talking to you now, Elijah David. For to hear the corn, the wine, and the oil is to hear them speak. And since real corn, wine, and oil cannot speak, they must be figurative of the spiritual food and drink. Figuratively of the mighty message in the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, and by the fact that the people of the earth shall hear Jezreel, that's the master prophet of Hosea, the mouthpiece of the Yahweh, is made sure that the call come out of her, my people, and that she be not partakers of her sins, that she receive not of her plagues. Hosea. I mean, Revelation 18:4 will accomplish its appointed work. Those who come out, those that come out, go into the aforementioned place of the safety, and those who do not hear Jezreel shall perish as did the Judeans, tribe of Judah, who rejected the prophets in their day. Let us now review our study of today by the following this graphic illustration. That's the end of two-time readings, number 6. And this is the end of our sermon for today. We're going to close this sermon with a song. We're going to sing Blessed Be the Ties That Bind. Blessed be the ties that bind a heart in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like the bed above. Before our Father's throne, before our ardent prayers, our hearts are hopes and names of ones, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing prayer. When we asunder part, to give us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.